This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything in this universe. And He created humans, the children of Adam, but He did not leave them without any maintenance. He did not leave them without means of sustenance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He, in Surah Al-A'raf, in a very beautiful ayah, He said, وَلَقَدْ مَكَّنَّاكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَعَايِشْ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, verily we have established you upon the earth and make for you therein ways of livelihood. قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ, and how little are you grateful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, العلماء يقولون هنا, الممكن في الأرض هو الذي يحتل المكان, باللغة العربية يحتل المكان من غير منافسة ولا زحزحة. They said the one who was given establishment on earth or in any place is the one who is able to occupy that space or place without any competition, without any challenge. And this is actually what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did to the humans, the children of Adam. He allowed them to occupy this planet Earth. So there are no other species on this earth that have the power, who have the power to challenge the authority and the power and the control of humans on this earth. And yes, our life in this earth depends on, you know, the means of substance, and it depends on the resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in this earth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted this child of Adam, the son of Adam, you know, the power to make an income or to make a living or to earn his daily bread. وَجَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَعَايِشْ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ, how little are you grateful? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that we will take everything for granted. We wake up every morning being able to breathe, being able to drink water, being able to walk and to go to work and make a living, turn on your car, come to the masjid, do things. But we don't pay attention to this ni'am. We take them for granted. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Because the moment you pay attention to the ni'mah, if you are driving in a safe place and you feel like you are safe, you feel that you have your income for the day, you have your bread for the day, your family is safe, everything is fine. If the moment you pay attention to this ni'am, you will automatically thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the problem with the majority of people that they don't pay attention to these bounties, this ni'am, we take everything for granted. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. As a result of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Himself Al-Razzaq. And sometimes He's named in the Quran Al-Raziq. Al-Razzaq and Al-Raziq, they have the same meaning. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would call Himself خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ, the best of all providers. So what is the difference between Al-Razzaq and Al-Raziq? A razaq is an intensive form of a raziq. They have the same meaning, which is the provider, but the razaq, it has an intensive form because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for all His creation, those who believed in Him and those who disbelieved in Him. He create every single creation on earth is benefiting from the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you could translate the word razaq as the supreme provider, and khayrul raziqeen, the best of all providers, because in our life, when we interact with each other, you know, children might think that the father is providing for them. The wife would tell you that I depend on my husband, I don't have an income. Children or young adults will tell you, I don't have an income, I have a job, I depend on my father. It's okay to say these things. I mean, this is not a statement of shirk, because it means that they don't have an income, They don't have money. So are using the resources coming from their parents or from someone else. So in what appears to people, these people are providing to each other. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us all the time that He's khayrul raziqeen, He's the best of all providers. And that's why in the Quran He said, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. He said, there is no creature on earth except that its sustenance depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that includes every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam one time made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made a dua to Allah to provide for the believing inhabitants of Mecca. So he was concerned about the mu'mineen who would live in the city of Mecca. At that time, Mecca was not there. It was an open valley. He left his wife, Hajar, and her son, Ismail, alayhi salam. And that was a great, actually, lesson of tawakkul. We'll come back to it. He left his wife and his son there. And he knew, he trusted in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَثِقَ فِيمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And made a dua for his, actually, descendants. Because the people who will inhabit Mecca, people who will live in Mecca, they will be, most of them will be his descendants. So he made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide for those who believed in Allah and the Day of Judgment. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah replied, said, I will provide for the believers and for the non-believers. I will provide for everyone. And this is in Surah Al-Baqarah, رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا بَلَدًا آمِنًا وَارْزُقْ أَهْلَهُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ مَنْ آمَنَ مِنْهُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. This is what Ibrahim said. And Allah said, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ. That means, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ, I'll provide for him. فَأُمَتِّعُهُ قَلِيلًا ثُمَّ أَضْطَرُّهُ إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ النَّارِ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرِ. So in this ayah, 126 in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us about the dua, as I said, of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he said, my Lord, make it a secure town, which is a beautiful dua. I mean, security is a big ni'mah, ya ikhwan. Security is a big ni'mah. And provide its people with fruits, whoever of themselves, of them, believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and whoever disbelieves, they will benefit from the provision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will benefit from the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but for a short period of time. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will grant them enjoyment for a little. فَأُمَتِّعُهُ قَلِيلًا ثُمَّ أَضْطَرُّهُ إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ النَّارِ. And then I will force them into the punishment of hellfire, and it is an evil destination. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word, I force them, I always think about, alaykum salam, about death. That everyone is destined to this, you know, destination. Everyone will die. No one will have a choice. No one will escape death. Everyone is moving towards this destination. He will die. He will go to the grave, whether he's a Muslim or not, or a non-Muslim. This is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a rule that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made in this life, in this universe, that people will be moving to this. Whether they like it or they don't like it, they will reach old age. They will become weak. This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will die. And then they will be resurrected. So they will be forced into this direction by Allah, by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what is called, the ulama, they call it general sustenance. يعني الرزق العام. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give it to everyone. Would give it to all his creation. Is a general provided to the righteous, the wicked, provided to those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who don't believe. Everyone, as I said, every single creation will benefit from the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. And he has guaranteed that they will have this rizq, their provision in this life. Whether it's a little or in a big amount, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make. People have different, you know, resources. Some of them have limited resources. Some of them have limited, you know, means, financial means. Some of them are wealthy and they have plenty of resources. So this is the qisma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides. This is his decision. When someone is born, before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed the term, the time that he will spend on this earth, and how much money he will earn on this earth. So this is the first type of risk. There is another type of risk which is more important. And this is something that is given to the selected, to Allah's selected, Allah, yani the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with something special, that is faith and knowledge, spiritual sustenance that is given to those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes and loves. Those special servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will benefit from this ni'mah, the ni'mah of iman, and the ni'mah of salat, of being a Muslim, being able to perform your ibadat, being or the ni'mah of having a desire to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or having this desire to seek knowledge and read the Quran and getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these ni'am are given to the selected servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who know the value of having a strong relationship of Allah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know the value of these special gifts. Because many people complain about not having a job, or they always think about, or their priorities in life are about securing a job, securing an income, securing a shelter. I mean, these things are important. But there are other people who are worried about their akhirah, worried about their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worried about their iman, worried about if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them or not. These are their priorities. So people have different priorities. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that He is the one who blessed these messengers and prophets and pious people with this ni'am. It comes from Him. Whatever ni'mah we have in this life comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why He told us about Musa alayhi salam. وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So in Surah Al-Qasas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when Musa alayhi salam has reached or attained full strength and was mentally mature, he was mature, which is the age at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Musa alayhi salam, when he reached the age between 30 to 33, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, this is the estimation of some scholars. And he was made a messenger or a prophet 10 years later when he reached the age of 40, after he spent 10 years in the area of Madian and decided to go back to Egypt to visit his family. So now, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about this ayah in Surah Al-Qasas when Musa alayhi salam was in Egypt before going to Madian. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with what? With knowledge and with the power of making hukm, or making judgment, to distinguish between what is wrong and what is right. وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us about, talking about Musa alayhi salam, but this time in Surah Al-Kahf, telling us something about Al-Khadir alayhi salam, the other prophet. And for sure he was a prophet. There is no doubt that he was a prophet. He was acting like a prophet, receiving wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Khadir alayhi salam. Some scholars decided, or they came up with the view that he was not a prophet. He was only a saint, a wali, a pious man. Then subhanallah, many Muslim groups were corrupted. They became corrupted because of this aqidah. And they started believing that a wali could be better than a prophet, or an imam within the Shia order could be better than a prophet, using this proof. Here, there is no doubt that Al-Khadir alayhi salam was a prophet. But what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him? When Musa alayhi salam with his servant were looking for this man, Al-Khadir alayhi salam, he said, فَوَجَدَ عَبْدًا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا أَتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّ عِلْمًا. So he said, then they found a servant from among our servants to whom we had given mercy from us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed mercy before knowledge. This is something that students of knowledge have to pay attention to. Mercy comes before knowledge. Mercy in the way you deliver the message. You have to have mercy in the way talking to people, making da'wah, solving their problems. You have to treat people with mercy. There are many people who give priority to what is wrong and right, and they keep, judging people, passing judgment over their brothers and sisters, because they don't understand the concept of mercy. So this is a beautiful example Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. Even though we know that Al-Khadr alayhi salam will be doing things that appear tough, things that we don't understand. If they happen in front of our eyes, we will not understand them. We will not absorb them easily. The killing of a child. But Al-Khadr alayhi salam through Al-Wahi, that this child will grow up, Allah told him, will grow up and he will make his parents suffer. He will be a source of suffering for his parents. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided, it was his decision, Allah's decision, not Al-Khadr's decision, that this child would die at that time and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would replace him with another, with a pious child. So it's something that we human beings, Musa alayhi salam, a great messenger, could not understand that action at that moment. But even though, with all these things happening, at that moment in that story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this man, that he's someone who was given mercy. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with mercy. So he did these things out of mercy, because he was concerned about the safety of those who were working in the ship, and concerned about the wealth of those two orphans in the town. So he did all this and concern about the well-being of the two parents. So everything was done with mercy. But when you look at it, you think that, no, I mean, he's doing corruption now. He's destroying the ship of these poor people who are working in the sea. They don't have an income. This is what appears to us if we see it happening in front of us, what might appear. And this is how Musa alayhi salam looked at it at that time. But the point here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا. So the mercy that he had in his heart, it was a gift, special gift given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a special type of risk. It is a risk. Even when you have good manners, this is a risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are skilled and you know how to deal, you have customer service. Good customer service, this is a risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, this good customer service might bring you money. So it's a source of income, could be a source of income for you. So all the things that you have in your life, whether they are tangible, material things, or things that you don't pay attention to, skills or akhlaq or manners, or anything that you are equipped with, is a risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Luqman? وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ آتَيْنَا. We have given Luqman al-hikmah, wisdom. What did he say about Sulaiman alayhi salam? فَفَهَمْنَاهَا سُلَيْمَانَ وَكُلًّا آتَيْنَا حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying there was a mas'ala, there was a case there in front of Sulaiman and his father Dawood alayhi salam. They were supposed to make a judgment in that case. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to bless Sulaiman, who is the son, not the father. The father here is Dawood alayhi salam. Of course, he was not offended. It's his son who was able to solve the problem. Sulaiman is a prophet and Dawood is a prophet. But Sulaiman was the son. So you expect the father to be more knowledgeable, right? To be more experienced. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to give the hikmah or the knowledge of that specific case to Sulaiman. فَفَهَمْنَاهَا سُلَيْمَانَ وَكُلًّا آتَيْنَا حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. And he said, and to each of them we gave judgment and knowledge. That's why Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, one of his du'as, اللَّهُمَّ يَا مُعَلِّمَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلِّمْنِي وَيَا مُفَهِّمَ سُلَيْمَانَ فَهِّمْنِي. This is a beautiful du'a if you want to increase your knowledge, or you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase your knowledge. Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah used to repeat this dua in his sujood, wallahu ta'ala alam. Ya mu'allima Ibrahim, O the one who taught Ibrahim, teach me. O the one who blessed Sulaiman, Solomon, with understanding, bless me with the right understanding. Because the right understanding of the deen is a great ni'mah. Is a great ni'mah. يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. This is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, the one, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants goodness for his servant, then he will bless him with the right understanding of the deen. Because there are many people who memorize hadith, and they memorize Quran and they know the masail, the matters of fiqh, but they don't have the right understanding. And they might end up actually creating problems instead of solving problems. It could be a source of confusion and division in the community. They know the hadith. They can recite a hadith in front of you or recite the ayat of the Quran. But there is no, the right, they don't have the right understanding of the deen. So this is another problem. So memorization itself will not solve the problem. We need to understand. We need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time to bless us with the right understanding of this deen. So faith and wisdom and iman and the right understanding are special gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for us as Muslims to repeat more than 70 times every day in our salah to repeat the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. And in Surah Al-Fatiha, there are a great dua, which is إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You we worship and you we seek help from. So we seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whether we are seeking, you know, means of livelihood, we are seeking risk, we're looking for an income, or we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our knowledge or to help us come to the masjid, enable us to come to the masjid and pray the five daily prayers, or enable us to fast the Mondays and Thursdays, or do an excellent a job during the days, the days of Dhul Hijjah. Whatever you are seeking, whatever you want to achieve, you need to seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You always rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need His help. So we know that He is a Razzaq, He is the best provider, and He has the power subhanahu wa ta'ala to you know, to give us what we want. And that's why the ulama, they said the definition, one of the best definition of tawakkul, they said, هو صدق اعتماد القلب على الله في استجلاب المصالح ودفع المضار من أمور الدنيا والآخرة. صدق اعتماد القلب على الله. He said, it is truly the definition of tawakkul. It is to truly place your trust or rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your heart to gain the benefits. The benefits or repel harms from the matters of dunya, this dunya, and the afterlife. So you rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all your matters, whether they are mundane, part of this matters of this dunya, worldly life, or they are part of umur al-akhirah. Mathalan, Musa alayhi salam, he was instructed to tell his people to enter Jerusalem. The story was mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah. And they refused to enter Jerusalem at that time. They were scared, and they were scared to, you know, they were worried. They were afraid of their enemies, and they didn't want to go inside Jerusalem. Two pious people tried. The tafsir, the ulama of the tafsir, they said these two people could be actually Musa and Harun, or they could be Musa, Harun and Yusha. Wallahu ta'ala, Yusha is another prophet who will lead the Ummah of Banu Israel, who led the Ummah of Banu Israel after the death of Musa alayhi salam. Because Harun alayhi salam passed away before Musa. And then Musa, when he was 120 years old, Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, and then after Musa, the leadership was in the hands of Yusha ibn Nun alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, two pious people from the children of Israel at that time told them, enter upon them through the gate. For when you enter it, you'll be dominant. So that was the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You just have to enter the gate of Jerusalem and you will be successful. You'll be dominant. And then at the end of the ayah, he said, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. And upon Allah rely, if you believe in Him, if you are believers, then you should place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we trust in the plans of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We trust in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His abilities, because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to do things. And He has the ability to give us whatever we want. And He has the ability to make change happen in our life or in the life of anyone and to fulfill our needs. And this state of mind is priceless, ikhwan, because it will give us an amazing peace of mind. When you know the power, مثلا, of حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل, and you know the story of Ibrahim عليه السلام, when he was thrown in the fire, and you know that it is the last statement that Ibrahim عليه السلام said, the last statement, حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل, Allah is sufficient for us and He is the best disposer of affairs. And you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, Allah told us about their story, made the same statement, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them from against the plots of the people of Mecca who were plotting against them. You know all these things. You know the value of this word. When you are facing some hardship, facing some difficulties, and you keep repeating this statement, you should feel comfortable. You should feel at ease. If someone is sick, ya ikhwan, someone is sick, and he had the chance to go to the best doctor in town, or the best doctor in the whole country, right? Wouldn't he feel at ease that he is handing his matters, the matters of his health, to the best doctor in town, right? So we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, who is al-wakil. توكل بحفظ عباده. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising you that if you place your trust in Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suffice your need. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. This is promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَفَى بِهِ وَكِيلًا. كَفَى بِهِ وَكِيلًا, يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient. There is no need to seek help or to place your trust. You can seek help from other people in a different way. Actually, so you can seek help from people if you are trying to achieve something. But when it comes to relying, placing your trust, you should only place your trust in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everyone, everything else becomes a tool in your life, including people you know, including the degrees that you have, including the money, the financial means that you have. Everything in your life becomes a tool. And you only place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Now there is a challenge, ya ikhwan, a challenge when it comes to a tawakkul. The formula of tawakkul is very sensitive. Any slight, any small deviation with tawakkul, any small deviation, it will affect your tawakkul. And you might actually struggle. You might not achieve your goals. The formula of tawakkul is very fragile. So you need to pay attention. You need to make a balance between, the right balance. So the challenge with tawakkul, ya ikhwan, is to, the concept of tawakkul is to achieve the right balance between relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and at the same time using the available means and resources. You need to use them. Whatever available resources and means that are available to you, you need to use them. But while using them, you have to guard your heart. You have to protect your heart. You have to watch your thoughts, your inner thoughts. Are you relying upon these means and resources, or you are relying solely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's the challenge with tawakkul. Otherwise, the tawakkul is a great act of ibadah. If you have, if your tawakkul is pure, you will achieve your goals. There is no doubt about it. Because this is His promise. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. There is no doubt about it. The problem is what's going on inside. That's the problem. And this is something personal. No one can help you with it. No one can help me with it. It's me. It's my personal life. I have to work it out. I have to rely firmly on the power of Allah, at the same time using these resources and these means, whether they are humans, connections, financial means, degrees, whatever thing you have in your life, whatever means you have, you need to use them. That's why the ulama, they said, يقولون الالتفات, الالتفات. This is a famous statement. الالتفات إلى الأسباب قدح في التوحيد. الالتفات إلى الأسباب قدح في التوحيد، وترك الأخذ بالأسباب ترك للشريعة أو قدح في الشريعة. They said, you know, relying on one's means and resources is a deviation from pure tawheed. We're not saying the person becomes mushrik. He doesn't become mushrik. But it is a deviation from the pure tawheed that we are supposed to have in our life as Muslims. It's a deviation because you are relying on your resources and means, paying attention more to the connections you have to your friends, to your cousins, to your kada, whatever connection, whatever resources you have, you are happy, you're satisfied with these resources. Forget about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He has the power to stop all these resources and make them invalid. They will not help you. They will not help you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the cause and the effect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who controls the relationship between the cause and the effect. So here, the ulama, they said, and this is a very important statement, تَرْكُ الْإِلْتِفَاتُ إِلَى الْأَسْبَابِ قَدْحٌ فِي التَّوْحِيدِ وَتَرْكُ الْأَخْذِ بِالْأَسْبَابِ قَدْحٌ فِي الشَّرِيعَةِ. And to abandon or to stop the use of the means and the resources is a deviation from the Islam or from the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us about some beautiful stories in the Quran where, مثلا, you'll be amazed. The story of Ayyub, I'll tell you about it, and the story of Maryam alayhi salam. And you pay attention to their story and say, why did Allah ask them to do this? It doesn't help. I mean, it's not effective. But still, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would ask them to follow the means of achievement because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to educate the ummah. You need to pay attention. You need to do your job. So there are three basic principles with this challenge. If we pay attention to them, inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will be able to have a pure tawakkul, achieve this pure tawakkul in our life. Three principles. The first one, the ulama, they said there should be no conflict. لا منافات بين التوكل والأخذ بالأسباب. There should be no conflict between our dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the use of any means or resources. So you have to work it out. You have to remove, you know, this idea of, you know, there is a conflict between the two. No, I'll give you some examples that are in Sahih al-Bukhari. For example, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu told us this story. He said the people of Yemen at the time of the Sahaba, or at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people of Yemen, because the wahi, the Quran was revealed at that time. He said they used to travel for Hajj without taking any provision. Well, without taking any provision here could be that they used to have a provision just to suffice them, their needs, during their travel, during their trip from Yemen to Mecca. But when they reach Mecca, they had no food, nothing with them, so they used to ask people for help. What was their argument? قالوا كانوا يقولون, Ibn Abbas يقول, they used to say, نحن المتوكلون. We are the people of tawakkul. So that was their understanding of tawakkul. Wrong understanding, of course. So they used to take some limited amount, maybe, of provision just to suffice their needs during their travel, their trip. They reach Mecca, they ask people for help. I need now food. So you ask people. So their argument was, نحن المتوكلون. That Ibn Abbas said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Al-Baqarah, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, take provisions. But indeed, you should know the best provision is fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, you keep in mind that the best provision is dua, the best provision is taqwa, is fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it comes to material means, you are supposed to use them. So, and it is up to you, it is your job to make a balance between the two. You can achieve tawakkul while still using these means and resources. The second principle here, the ulama, they said, لَابُدَّ مِنَ الْأَخْذِ بِالْأَسْبَابِ. means and resources are to be sought and taken, even if they are weak. Like you feel you have nothing is available for you. Yeah, you can do something, but you don't believe it will help. You don't believe that what you have, whatever resources you have, are effective. If you feel like they're very weak, they will not help you. The ulama is saying here, even if you feel that these means that you have are not very powerful, you still have to use them. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ and the sunnah of the rest of the prophets and messengers. And what is the dalil? What are the proofs? Look at the story of Ayyub ﷺ and the story of Maryam. The story of Ayyub ﷺ, he was sick for 18 years. Ayyub ﷺ, for 18 years. On the bed. He didn't have power. He lost everything in his life. It was a major trial. Ayyub alayhi salam went through a major trial. Was sick for 18 years. The only person who stayed with him is his wife. And then when he made that dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua and answered his dua after 18 years. قَرَبِّ إِنِّي مَسَّنِي الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ in Surah Al-Anbiya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered his dua. But still, in the process, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to bless him with good health, what did he say? أُرْكُذْ بِرِجْلِكَ هَذَا مُغْتَسَلٌ بَارِدٌ وَشَرَابٌ. He was sick, his body was affected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to bless him with good health. So he asked him he said, I will give you a water spring. So you take a shower with this water and you drink from it and you're going to gain, get your health again. But what did he say? Strike the ground with your foot. Why does he strike? Does he have to strike the ground with his foot? He's very sick. He's very weak. Like, let's say someone who is very healthy and very strong, right? If he strikes the ground with his foot, do you think he will be able to get some water from the ground? You have to dig, right? Maybe 200 meters sometimes. Huh? Even if someone is healthy, he will not be able to get water just by striking the ground with his foot. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask Ayyub to strike the ground with his foot? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is educating Muslims that even if the means, whatever means you have, they're very weak, still you have to do your part. You need to do your part. And this is actually that was the source of the Wallahu ta'ala alam. When I think about the history of the Muslim Ummah back in the last 200 years, 3 years, actually one of the biggest problems that we had is the problem with the concept of tawakkul. We Muslims were taught to place their trust in someone else beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we had shrines everywhere. And people were taught to place their trust on the power of those dead people, dead saints, pious people who passed away, the humans. They don't have the power to help us with anything, but still Muslims were instructed to go there to these shrines and seek help from these creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they didn't follow the means, they didn't follow the means of achievement. I didn't follow the means of science and technology. And that's why, you know, we are now in this state of affairs. The Ummah is suffering now, nowadays. And I think one of our problems, Wallahu ta'ala alam, is this confusion with the concept of tawakkul that took place in the history of Islam. The second example, the example of Maryam alayhi salam. Maryam alayhi salam, when she was young, and she was healthy. She was able to make a living at that time, but she dedicated her life to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the temple. Her rizq used to come without her doing anything. It was a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zakariya would come to her place inside, and he would find some rizq, some provision there. But when she became pregnant with Isa alayhi salam, And she was about to give birth to Isa alayhi salam. So she was going through labor, which is a very difficult moment. Those who have children and they went to the hospital with their wives know what I am talking about. It's a very tough time for women when they go through labor and they are about to give birth to their babies. So Maryam was in that weak, you know, moment, going through a lot. And of course, she had in mind another problem, a bigger problem. She's the pious woman coming from a pious family, and she had to go and face her people with a child within her hands. And she knew that her people would not believe her, will not believe that this child was born without a father. So it was a very difficult moment, and yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told her to do something. وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ. In that moment when she needed food and help in Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that He told her, He instructed her, وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطْ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًّا. He told her, shake toward you the trunk of the palm tree. She was sitting beside the palm tree. Shake the trunk of the palm tree, and it will drop upon you ripe and fresh dates. Even if someone is strong and healthy, do you think if he shake the trunk of a palm tree, he will be able to get some dates? I mean, it's difficult. He might get some, but it's difficult, right? You have to usually people climb these trees to collect these dates, right? To collect these dates. This is how people collect dates, right? But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling her to do this. So He wants to educate, as I said, Muslims and the believers throughout time that you need to pay attention to these means and resources. Even if they are weak, do your part, do your job, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your efforts. And the third principle, we should never rely on these means and resources. Because as I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the cause and created the effect, al-asbab wal-musabbibat. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who controls the relationship between the cause and the effect. For example, the fire. The fire is supposed to burn, right? The fire is the cause and the effect of the fire is burning. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the one who created everything, He was able to stop the fire from burning Ibrahim alayhi salam. So even if you have the means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to, if you rely on the means, is able to make these means and resources useless, and they will not help you. We know many people who are healthy, they have no health problems, and they have no children. They go and consult the doctors, husband and wife, they have no problems. The doctor would tell them, I don't see any problem with them. Everything is fine. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give them children. And they do everything they are supposed to do it, but no children. It's a risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Children are a type of risk in this life. They are. And there are people who wait for 10 years. I know people who waited for 10 years, 15 years, before they were blessed with children. And I know some people who kept on saying the dua, the beautiful dua of Zakariya alayhi salam. رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ in Surah Al-Anbiya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end blessed them with children. He blessed them with children. So it is, everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a beautiful dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. He said, إِنَّ جِبْرِيلُ رُوحُ الْقُدُسِ بَثَّ فِي رَوْعِي أَنَّهُ لَن تَمُوتَ نَفْسٌ حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ أَجَلَهَا وَرِزْقَهَا فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ ولا يحملنكم استبطاء الرزق على ان تطلبوه بمعصيه الله فانما عند الله لا يطلب بمعصيته او لا يطلب الا بطاعته. This is a famous hadith in which Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, Jibril or Ruh al-Qudus has cast into my heart that no soul shall die until it completes its term, appointed term on this life. Yani if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for you that you're going to live 80 years, then no one will be able to end your life until you reach that age. If he decreed for you to live 100 years, then you're going to live 100 years. No one will be able to end your life. That is the decree of Allah. And then he said in the same hadith, حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ أَجَلَهَا وَرِزْقَهَا, until it completes the appointed term and it receives the rizq, its provision in full. So whatever was written for you, you will get it, you will receive it. No one will stop your rizq from coming to you. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you, He wants you as a mu'min to pay attention to your duty on earth. And what is your duty on earth is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your duty is to prepare yourself to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't mean staying in the masjid 24 hours. It's to make that balance between your spiritual needs, achieve this balance between your spiritual needs and between your material needs. Between your job, between your family life. This is something very important, ya ikhwan. Because sometimes we keep talking about dunya, and we are going after dunya, and we feel like, or we make other people feel that you are not supposed to look for a job, you're not supposed to go to school, you're not supposed to do anything. You just keep worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your rizq will come. Of course, your rizq will come to you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created means and tools and asbab. And we need to do this job. But here in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, you will get your rizq. No one will be able to stop your rizq from coming to you. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. He said, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek your rizq graciously. And without tama', without committing sins. He said, وَلَا يَحْمِلَنَّكُمْ اسْتِبْطَاءُ الرِّزْقِ. He said, do not seek what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the bounties of Allah through the means of committing sins. فَإِنَّ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَا يُطْلَبُ إِلَّا بِطَاعَتِهِ. What is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be sought with His obedience. So if you are looking for rizq, there are other means, spiritual means, to seek rizq. مَثَلًا الْاِسْتِغْفَارِ يَا اخوان. الاستغفار is very important. Is an excellent actually cure or tool for those who are seeking rizq or want to increase their wealth or they want children. Istighfar. And there are many forms of istighfar, many beautiful forms. You can say astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh, or astaghfirullah al-azim alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum wa atubu ilayh. This is a very strong form of istighfar. Or رب اغفر لي وتب علي إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. Or رب إني ظلمت نفسي ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. Or سيد الاستغفار, the master supplication of seeking الاستغفار. It is found in صحيح in حسن المسلم, and it is part of our morning and evening supplications. Or the دعاء of موسى عليه السلام, رب إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير. Or helping other people, keeping the ties of kinship. Keeping the ties of kinship is a tool for you to seek rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless your rizq. He'll bless your family life, bless your business life when you keep the ties of kinship and you keep a good relationship with your parents and you take care of the needs of your parents. So these are spiritual means to seek the provision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are people who say, you know, we live in the society and it's very difficult. We know it's very difficult. And sometimes people come with questions. And we tell them, you know, yes, there is some haram, you know, activities in this company. Well, you can take this job as long as you are not directly involved in making sin. You can take this job if you're not happy, you're not comfortable. You take it with the intention of what? Of seeking for another job. You don't be comfortable with this job since there is some haram activities that are involved there that are part of your job. So there are some, alhamdulillah, some solutions in fiqh in our deen. But in general, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you, He wants to know that you are concerned about your relationship with Him. مثلا, if you get a job in which they don't allow you to pray Jum'ah, would you become very concerned and worried about your Jum'ah and your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or you say, You know, I mean, we live in Canada, and that's okay. It's a non-Muslim country. Inshallah, in the future, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me another job. I will, inshallah, I'll be able to pray Jum'ah. Or I'll go to Jum'ah once in a while. So there is a difference. Yeah, we have two attitudes here. So a Muslim, a true believer, will be always worried about his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worried about his ibadat, believing that rizq, the source of rizq, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the ultimate source of rizq is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yuwaffiqana li kulli khayr. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yiftaha alayna abwaba rahmatih. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open his doors of mercy for us. And we pray to him to bless our families and bless our ibadat and our efforts and our family life, business life, and everything we do. Jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahu wa hamdik. Shadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.